Good morning, TNC family, from my home to wherever you are on this second Sunday in September. Let's pray together as we begin, and I want to pray the prayer of the psalmist with you from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this dry and weary land. So here I am in this place of worship, God, eyes open, ready to drink in your strength and glory, knowing that in your unfailing love, I can find true living. And I lift up my hands to you in prayer, for you are my helper, my strong right hand. You watch over my life. So I will sing for joy. Amen. So every year for the past decade, on this second weekend in September, our TNC community brings food, cans and cases and boxes and bags of food, to the church, after which a smaller group of us load up truck beds and cars full of the food and bring it to our partners at North Fulton Community Charities, where it is distributed across the North Atlanta area to families and individuals in particular need of this food. Last year, for example, we delivered 22 large boxes, each with about 25 items, and so over 500 cans, sacks, bags, and boxes of food. And I'll never forget a couple years ago when North Fulton Community Charities was in need of cereal, and everyone at TNC brought cereal boxes, and we actually put them on our church platform stage front area. And so you have to imagine, like, hundreds of boxes of Cheerios and Fruit Loops and Wheaties and so on from floor to, like, 4 or 5 feet high on top of the piano, on subwoofers and amp racks, covering the front of our sanctuary. Which leads me to this, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. And I'm going to read it in English, but in a literal Hebrew word-for-word translation. Quote, "Who has good of eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." Or another Hebrew translation, "The good of eye is blessed, for he shares food with the poor." The good of eye. The good of eye. Not a phrase we use a lot these days. We might say good of heart. She's got a good heart. Or kind-hearted. But we don't often say kind-eyed. Or she is good of eye. Which is why some more modern translations translate verse 22 this way: "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he shares food with the poor." Or the old King James: "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed." Or the New Living Translation: "Blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor." Translated in all these cases as generous because that phrase, good of eye, or good eye, is the Hebrew ayin tova. And in ancient culture, it was often used in contrast with ayin ra'ah, which means bad eye. And so Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, "The good of eye will be blessed." And it's contrasted with places like Proverbs 28 verse 22, which says, "The man with a bad eye," the man with ayin ra'ah, "hastens after wealth and does not know that actually diminishment will come upon him." And so you have these two phrases, ayin tova and ayin ra'ah. And the book of Genesis tells us that Abraham had an ayin tova, a good eye, because he was generous with his wealth towards his family and community and descendants. And in Genesis 16, we read that Sarai casts an ayin ra'ah on Hagar, while Hagar was pregnant, causing her to miscarry before going on to become pregnant with Ishmael. And in Deuteronomy 15, Moses warns the people, quote, "Beware that there is no base thought in your heart, and no eye that is evil toward the one who is poor, so that you give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you." And so we see that a good eye is a generous eye, the eye of one who sees the needs of others and wants to help them. Sometimes in Scripture, this is also referred to as an eye full of light. But one with a bad eye, or an evil eye, is one who is blind to the needs of others and is focused on self-gain. And sometimes in Scriptures, this is referred to as an eye full of darkness. Now, Jesus will also use these phrases, but he will up the ante, take it a step further, and not only say that the good eye is a generous eye and the bad eye is a stingy eye. He says your entire life will flow from the condition of your eyes. For example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. A good lamp for your journey." Verse 23, "But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." In other words, a bad lamp for your journey. Ayin Tova, LED, 2300 lumens, good lamp for a good journey. Ayin Ra'a, 25 watt incandescent lamp, bad lamp for a dark journey. And if you're driving at night, trying to navigate twists and turns, and life is full of twists and turns, high beams equal a safer journey. And if you're driving at night, trying to navigate twists and turns, dim headlights equals a dangerous journey, and your eye is the lamp for your life. Which is why, by the way, in baseball, we sometimes say that a player has a good eye if they can only swing at strikes but lay off balls outside the strike zone. Good eye, we say. And in baseball, a good eye leads to larger success on the field. Or if you're at a grocery store, looking for an item but can't find it, and someone spots it, you might say to them, "Good eye, I would have missed that." And in this case, a good eye leads to the acquisition of the kind of nourishment that you're looking for. Now, conversely, an evil eye, we also have this phrase, we might say, "Ooh, she gave me the evil eye," meaning she desired my harm, which can lead to, if not handled well, anger, hurt, or a damaged relationship. Or you read about this with Sauron in The Lord of the Rings. His evil eye leads to the larger destruction of the people. And so there are two kinds of eyes, Jesus says, an eye full of light, a good eye, a generous eye, that leads to strength and life, and an eye full of darkness, a bad eye, a stingy eye, that leads to weakness and destruction. And Jesus will use this phrase multiple times, including Matthew chapter 20, at the end of the parable of the landowner who pays the workers all the same, no matter how long they work. The landowner then says to the complainers, literally, quote, "Is your eye evil? Because I am generous." So, we should probably talk for a few minutes about generosity. And specifically, I want to make four observations about it, and my guess is at least one or two of these will feel challenging or surprising, or you might want to have some follow-up pushback on. But here we go. Here's number one. First observation. Number one, Ayin Tova is a brilliant way to live. Being generous is a brilliant way to live. And I don't mean it's a preferred way, or it's a nice way, all things being equal. Like, if you have a little extra at the end of your day's schedule, or month's paycheck. I mean, it's Einsteinian brilliant, pragmatic, smart. It is a brilliant life strategy to make generosity the prioritized way of arranging your money and time. Because, and I'm speaking from direct observation, people who give generously feel great about it and find themselves blessed in ways they never expected. And great things happen to them, and great things happen to those around them. It's a huge win-win. And I feel very confident in saying that, TNC. Like, the odds aren't like 50-50 or even 60-40. It's more like a slam dunk, a statement of fact. 1 + 1 = 2. The sound barrier is broken at 770 miles per hour. Terminal velocity for a falling object is 150 miles per hour. And generosity is a brilliant way to live. Something Jesus recognizes when he says, Acts chapter 20, it is more blessed to give than receive. Something Solomon realizes and writes, Proverbs chapter 11, a generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Something the Apostle Paul knows when he writes 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where he's encouraging people to be financially generous. Quote, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, Paul says, we should think of our dollar bills like seeds. Scatter your money wisely on good soil and watch a whole harvest of good grow out of it. Which is what Jonathan Haidt, bachelor's degree from Yale, PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, currently a psychology professor at New York University, says in his book called The Happiness Hypothesis. And I shouldn't just really say that he says it, because it's a book where he cites all kind of evidence demonstrating that gender has no impact on happiness, and climate and weather have little significant impact on happiness, and beautiful people are not happier than folks that society judges to be less beautiful. And younger people are actually a little bit less happy than older people. But now listen to this. It turns out that happiness, joy, is most clearly linked to generosity, giving, volunteering, serving others, helping neighbors. And specifically, he says, to being generous with your finances, your greenbacks, your checkbook, your cash. He writes, quote, those who think money can't buy happiness just don't know where to shop. The evidence suggests that those who are generous often gain happiness. A 21st century confirmation of this ancient bit of wisdom about Ayin Tova. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of life. And one final word on this point to challenge what some of you might be thinking right now. So just listen carefully. Generosity does not require a big bank account. And it doesn't even require that you have extra. Being generous has much more to do with just being smart and shrewd and wise and wildly happy. Generosity isn't like what you do in spiritual graduate school. It's elementary. Friends, take some of everything. Your time, your resources, your income. Take some of everything you acquire and prioritize sharing it. It is a brilliant life strategy. Ayin Tova is a brilliant way to live. Okay, here's number two. Another observation about having a good eye. Number two, Ayin Tova is inseparable from love. Ayin Tova is inseparable from love. I'm saying if you want to know if someone loves you or not, then the first bit of evidence will be their generosity towards you. With words, time, energy, and resources. I mean, imagine the famous John 3:16 passage, without generosity. For God so loved the world that he kept to himself, stayed in the heavens, and hoarded his resources. No, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is inseparable from love. And Paul adds, gave up. He gave up status and power and resources and rights. Because you can't love someone or something outside of demonstrating generosity toward them or it. Which is one reason, by the way, we can be confident that God actually loves us. Because there's only one reason for God to come himself in Jesus, and that's love. I'm saying if Jesus only cared about getting the right information to us or getting us to sign a statement of belief, he didn't need to come himself. And if God's entire intent was to clarify right from wrong, no personal visitation was necessary. And if the ultimate goal was simply to overwhelm us with some miraculous power so that we would finally believe, then taking on flesh and blood wasn't necessary. There's only one reason for God to come himself in Jesus, and that's love. Because there's no way to demonstrate love outside of generosity. And this is important to understand, especially in our day when folks often say they love us, but what they really mean is, I love what you are giving to me. I want something from you. I love you, TNC. Now keep giving to me. Or now will you please change this or give me that. I love you, girlfriend. Now will you please give me your body. I love you, spouse. I love you, child. Now will you change the way you're doing this or that. I love you, consumer. Or at least your money. So, buy my product. Friends, do you see it? That's not love. The heart of love is always generosity. In love, at least in the idea of agape love, as we find it in the scriptures, in true love, and now I want to quote New Testament professor N.T. Wright, in true love, the lover affirms the reality of, and the otherness of the beloved. The lover does not seek to change, remake, or control the beloved in some way, or into someone other than who he or she is. At this level, love means a readiness to let the other be truly the other and to be willing to grow and change myself in relationship to the other. And the point here is, love isn't a taker, it's a giver. It's not controlling, it's generous, which is why both Hosea and Jeremiah depict God as one who woos us and draws us with his love. And Paul, in his famous treatise on love, 1 Corinthians 13, only talks about how love gives, doesn't take. Ayin Tova is inseparable from love. And that's observation number two. Love cannot exist separate from generosity. So think about that when you say I love you to somebody or something. Which leads to number three, third observation about generosity. Number three, Ayin Tova, together, can do what Ayin Tova alone cannot. You know, there's power in numbers. Teamwork makes the dream work. Many hands make light work. It takes a village. What we do together is greater than what we can do alone. Some of you know I eat steel-cut oats almost every morning of my life. And after boiling them, I add one ingredient and one ingredient only, honey. Now, you know, I think that honey that comes in that cute little bear-shaped container at the grocery store, I go through at least one 12-ounce clover honey bear every week, which got me curious some time ago. And so I did some research and discovered that a 12-ounce honey bear in my pantry exists only because, well, about 1,000 bees flew over 40,000 miles in a relentless, undeterred pursuit of nectar gathered from 1.2 million flowers. All that for my 12-ounce honey bear filled jar. And it's not just that. The refining process inside the beehive is equally impressive. First, the bee brings nectar to the hive where it is greeted by a younger, homebound receiver bee who relieves the worker bee of her load. Then the receiver bee deposits nectar into a cell and proceeds to reduce its water content and raise its sugar level by fanning it with her wings and regurgitating it up to 200 times, killing microbes along the way. Then more bees surround this cell and other cells nearby and fan them with their wings 25,000 times or so, turning the nectar into honey. And when the honey is ripened, wax specialist bees arrive to cap off the cells. And that only describes honey production, friends. Far more valuable, of course, is the bee to pollinating crops and essential to the delicious fruit and vegetables we enjoy all the time. And I hope you see it. My 12-ounce honey bear container of honey is a symbol of a complex community with a clear and focused objective. And the Apostle Peter describes the church community and our role as individuals within it in a similar way. He doesn't use the beehive analogy because that's a home for bees. He uses a home building analogy. Chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "You are a living stone being built into a spiritual house." In other words, we all come together and we work together or we won't have a house. But when we all come and bring our role, our parts, and we move together, then we have this spiritual house together. Which means your generosity might only feel like a door hinge, but remove all the door hinges from your house and you have no house. And your giving might feel like, it's just a light switch. But try to go inside a house without a light switch, and it's not a house. And shingles aren't enough, but they're critical. And we need to all, as living stones, come together in generosity in order to build the spiritual house, to create a community of purpose and peace and energy and encouragement. And that means I must be generous. I must be a living stone and give my life to the house. And you must too, friends. Because if we'll all do this, we can work together to bring the sweet aroma and taste of divine honey to the world. Ayin Tova together can do what Ayin Tova alone cannot. Okay, number four, finally. Ayin Tova is a great investment forever. Ayin Tova is a great investment for all eternity. Because think about it, you will invest in something today. You'll spend your time and money doing something. And you will invest in something this week. And it might be in the policies of a temporary political leader, or in the ideas of a Hollywood film writer, or you can deposit some money in your own account for you, for use like at the end of the month, or in 5 or 10 or 20 years. But there is only one investment that will last for all eternity, and that's the investment of generous living. Because generosity, friends, lasts forever. This is why Jesus says in this same passage we've been looking at today, where he talks about having a good eye and a bad eye. Listen, beginning from verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also." Verse 22, "The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." Jesus says you and I have a choice in life between investing in temporary treasure and investing in eternal treasure. And Jesus says, and it's a fascinating point and a mind-blowing connection, but Jesus says you really can trade in limited stuff for eternal stuff. You really can trade in things that will rust and decay for things that will never rust nor be destroyed. You really can. But here's the question. Will you? Because there's a dark journey and a dark side. And then there's a journey filled with light. A light side. And if you're generous, it will be a lamp for your whole life. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And so the question is, will you embrace the light? Will you taste and see? Ayin Tova is a brilliant way to live. Ayin Tova is the heart of love. Ayin Tova together can produce amazing fruit in our world. And Ayin Tova will last forever. Let's pray. To the God who so loved the world that he gave. To the God who is the light of the world. God, thank you for your generosity to us. I pray that we would know more deeply your love for us, and that it would spill over into our own generosity toward others. Will you give us good eyes at home, at work, in our community, within our TNC family? And now, to him who is able to do infinitely more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.